Today's reading starts in Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 20. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." And he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Do not go out or follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man." They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away, and likewise let the one who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. I tell you, in that night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding together. One will be taken and the other left." Then they said to him, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." We know when Jesus came to this earth, the expectations of what the Messiah was going to be and be like and what he was going to do were, frankly, very high. You know, there was this expectation that his people, speaking of the Hebrews, the Jews, that they were going to be freed from this Roman oppression, and they were going to throw those shackles off and take their land back and be a world power again. That was the expectation of the time of the Messiah. And that was because they were not applying the things that were written about the Messiah in a spiritual way. They were thinking of it only in a very physical way. Remember that Jesus and John the Baptist, you know, their preaching lined up with each other very well. Remember that message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So this was an idea of a revival, a refocus on God, turning away from all the things that would distract them in their daily lives and look toward God, come back to him, be faithful to him, so that the messianic time can come upon them. In fact, you could say that the Jews at this time thought they had the Messianic period so figured out that it was not a matter of what, but just a matter of when. They thought they had it all understood, knew exactly what was going to happen, and so they just wanted to know when it was going to happen. It's interesting that when a person expects to see something specific, It becomes so hyper-focused in their mind that they can't see anything else. And even though Jesus has been teaching for a while by this point, they're still not letting it sink in. They're still not getting the message about what the Messiah was really going to do and be. And so these Pharisees are asking this question, when is the kingdom of God going to come? All these things that we expect to happen, when's it going to happen? When are we going to see it? And it's almost an impatience among them. You know, we're waiting through all these other things that you're doing. We're just waiting to see, you know, when the real stuff's going to happen. And totally missing the point about what the Messiah was going to be and do. And so he's trying to correct their misconception here. And he's saying, you know, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Now, that wouldn't make a lot of sense to them, because of what they're expecting. They're expecting that what's going to happen is something that absolutely can be observed. The throwing off of the Roman shackles, you know, being independent again, being a world power again, being a nation independent of anybody else again. having the blessings of the promised land again. All of these things that are within their mind, those are things that can be observed. Once they would happen, then they would say, look, I can point to it. There it is. But then Jesus says, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. And so this would create even more confusion. So if you're thinking in these very physical terms about a kingdom coming, then there's that thought of how could a kingdom come and nobody would notice it? Nobody would be able to observe it. And so he's telling them, it's within you. It's in the midst of you. It's not going to be what you think it's going to be. It's not going to come about as a manifestation the way that you have been thinking that it's going to be. Remember that Jesus describes the kingdom in ways for them to make, you know, a spiritual application. He talks about the wheat and the weeds in Matthew 13, or the leaven, or a mustard seed, or a dragnet in the same chapter. And so, you know, if it was going to be a world power the way Rome was a world power, or the way that they were when it was, you know, under King David or King Solomon or something like that, then why wouldn't you just compare it to that? Why wouldn't you just compare it to a kingdom? But instead, he's saying, no, the kingdom is going to be like a mustard seed, or it's going to be, you know, like a field that has both wheat and weeds in it, or it's going to be, you know, like a treasure that is found. Even though he's been teaching this way, they're not really understanding. Again, it's that myopic view because there's only one thing they expect and they're disregarding everything that is outside of that tunnel of their vision. They are missing the point that Jesus is not talking about a physical kingdom and he's not talking about a new king and a world power, any of those things. He's talking about a spiritual relationship with Jehovah, with the God that they have been interacting with and that they can read about in all of the Old Testament, which was a tutor to bring them to Christ, who was standing right in front of them. That's what the kingdom was really going to be. Now, the end of this section, he describes, you know, some judgment that's going to come too. And that's not something I think they're expecting nor thinking about, that there's going to be a judgment that comes at the same time as the kingdom. It's going to catch them unaware, unexpected. They're going to be going about their daily lives when this judgment does come, just like the days of Lot and the days of Noah. Now, we have the benefit of looking backward today, and that helps us in understanding these things. But if you try to put yourself in the shoes of the Jews of the time, you can begin to understand how foreign some of this seemed. I mean, think about their entire lives. They've probably, you know, in discussions in the synagogue and with the Pharisees, and maybe if you were fortunate enough to go to one of the schools of education among the Jews, that you've grown up your entire life being taught that the Messianic period was going to be a restoration of the kingdom, a physical kingdom on this earth, and that they wouldn't be under Roman rule anymore, and all of those types of ideas. And yet all of a sudden, Jesus starts teaching about the kingdom being a mustard seed and a judgment coming along with the establishment of the kingdom and the kingdom being within you. These would be very foreign things, very difficult to grasp. But as they came and went, and then you start looking back, then you really do understand what Jesus was teaching. So we have a great benefit today over those who heard these words when Jesus spoke them. It's very important that we make a couple of applications to ourselves today. We need to be reminded that the church is not a building. The church is not an earthly organization. It's not even the way people think about churches today as an earthly conglomeration of congregations, you know, like a synod or having an earthly headquarters of some type. You know, we have these independent congregation of saints that serve God together and they choose to work and worship together, fulfilling the commandments of God. But sometimes we lose sight of the fact that the church is those that are part of the body of Christ. It is a spiritual body. We need to be careful that we don't adopt some of the wrong ideas that much of the world has regarding the church, that we don't adopt those ideas as our own. And so perhaps today we need to pray to have a spiritual eyesight in regards to the kingdom and regarding our spot before God and our place in the body of Christ and our work daily for Him, that we might be found faithful. Well, thank you for listening today. I hope that you'll come back for another reading, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.